As Australia rockets along to become one of the most vaccinated countries in the world, COVID-19 vaccine coverage in low-income countries remains in the doldrums. Only 3% of people living in low-income countries have received a COVID-19 vaccination. It's a development that hasn't been alleviated by COVID-19 vaccine promotion, increasing to over 1.5 billion doses a month, with supply problems only being slowly addressed. Evan Wallace spoke with Sarah Schiffling, Senior Lecturer in Supply Chain Management from John Moores University in Liverpool, to explain the greatest barriers to rolling out the COVID-19 vaccine in these countries.
According to Sarah Schiffling, the world faces a moral, health and economic imperative to increase COVID-19 vaccine coverage in poorer nations.
Hello, my name is Dr. Sarah Schiffling and I'm a Senior Lecturer in Supply Chain Management at Liverpool John Moores University. I'm joining today from the UK. I'm in Liverpool, and if you look outside my window right now, you can actually see two Premier League football grounds.
By the end of the year, there will be enough vaccine to dose the global population twice, with supply problems likely to be a thing of the past. Sarah talked me through the greatest obstacles to increasing coverage in low-income countries.
The issues that we're seeing are really about how do we get doses to people? And that's, on the one hand, it's the part where we need to actually transport them to people, we need to get them into countries, we need to get them transported within countries, and then we need to have the demand there. We've seen that in lots of countries, there's high vaccine hesitancy, people aren't really sure about that, and the management of that is a bit hit and miss, to say the best. Then we've also got the issue of who is actually administering these jabs to people. What we're seeing is in a lot of low and middle income countries in particular, we have a massive shortage of healthcare workers. So we need people who are properly trained, who are able to actually administer these vaccinations, and of course also monitor any side effects afterwards, reassure people and all that.
What would you like to see as the first steps to really progress that acceleration of vaccine coverage amongst poorer nations?
With the vaccines, the issue that we've got is that you can't just transport them in a normal box. They need to be transported at certain temperatures and they're quite volatile. So setting that up and figuring out what the best options are to get vaccines into each individual country, given the situation geographically. Are we talking about a very mountainous country? Are we talking about a country where it's very hot? Do we talk about a country that's an island nation? That's all what makes a difference to how we distribute vaccines. But then we're also looking at what is the infrastructure in regards to cold storage in particular. Do we have reliable electricity to run our freezers? What are the issues there?
Vaccine hesitancy has also played a significant role in stymieing uptake across low-income nations. For Sarah, while hesitancy takes on different forms, a coordinated effort by community workers, vaccine providers and international agencies is needed to tailor better local solutions.
There's no point in just rolling out kind of the standard doctrine of this is how to combat vaccine hesitancy, because the reasons for it are very different in different communities, and we need to take into account how people feel in different countries. Also, what are people's experiences with public health campaigns? Do they think, oh yeah, that's a good thing? Are there high vaccination rates for other illnesses? In countries where we usually have a very high vaccination rate for like your usual childhood immunization, we also see that there's less vaccine hesitancy because people have had good experiences. And that's actually something that we see in some low-income countries where there has been a lot of focus on childhood vaccinations and people have really seen in their own lifetime the differences that these vaccinations have made, that we do have lower vaccine hesitancy. On the other hand, we're also looking at what sort of products are people getting. There was some drama earlier on in the year in some African nations being given donations of vaccines that were basically being donated because they were really close to the end of their best before date.
Another key strategy that is being rolled out to increase vaccine coverage in harder to reach locations is the creation of new manufacturing plants and supply chains. What sort of role do you think the major pharmaceutical companies can play in boosting vaccine coverage? Do they have a unique role that they can play in the mix here?
Absolutely. What we're seeing with those pharmaceutical companies is that vaccine production is very, very concentrated in very few countries. So we're looking at 80 to 90% of vaccines being produced in just 10 countries around the world. But just about every country imports vaccines. So we've got this high concentration that can be quite difficult, especially when we're seeing all these issues we've got with supply chains right now. And when we're also seeing that countries are quite protective of the supplies that they do have when we have this massive global demand. So it would be really good to see pharmaceutical companies invest in broadening that spectrum of countries that are involved. And some are doing that quite nicely. There's companies now involving manufacturers in Egypt, manufacturers in Vietnam. So broadening out the number of countries that are involved in producing these vaccines and just sharing that expertise, sharing the knowledge, sharing the technology. So we've got a broader manufacturing base and we can produce more around the world, get more countries involved, and then also make the rollout easier when you don't have to ship all of your doses from a manufacturing plant in the US to around the world. But if you have more regional production hubs, that makes that international part of the supply chain so much easier.
Dr. Sarah Schiffling, senior lecturer from John Moores University in the United Kingdom, speaking there with Evan Wallace.